Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to The Blank Canvas. We are on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your sit-in host, John Cox. I'm filling in for Amanda Coulson, and I have the privilege of being in studio this evening with Alastair Stevenson, a Bahamian artist working in China, largely focused on ceramics his entire creative career. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about platforms that we might be able to build moving further, because I think it's really important for artists who experience success to be able to pass that success on to future generations.
Absolutely.
And so we were talking a little bit about what it might be. Alastair was in a very successful residency, or very rewarding residency program in Denmark,
yes,
you were saying. And so let's talk a little bit more about how you see a residency program maybe developing. And then
right
after that, what we're going to get into, which is really important, is Alastair has a show coming up at Dungalik Studios, which is an awesome creative space on Village Road,
yep,
run by Pamela Burnside. And we'll talk about the dates and the details of that. But at least for the next couple of minutes, let's talk about this residency idea and how we think that might be able to come to life.
Right. I think for the residency, in the type of residency in particular, I would, my bias is ceramics. I mean, you know,
no,
like I would totally
don't
say,
don't even apologize,
please,
for that.
Ceramics, you know what I mean? So that's what it would be focusing on. And I just think it would be, and I'm not talking about something that will be massive. I think something like a small intimate space would be fine. Like maybe you can have 3 to 4, maximum 6 artists in at one time,
mm-hmm,
working in a space and being influenced by this environment. And I guess why this environment is because I think a lot of artists are generally very much influenced by nature. And that's one of the biggest things I had growing up on Long Island, where, you know, we practically live in the countryside, you know what I mean? We're the out islands, and you are so close to nature. Not that you're that far from it in Nassau, but you're quite,
you're
very
pretty
much
far from it.
Yeah.
Very much so. You could go weeks at a time and not think about nature.
Yeah.
Here.
But like, that was all I ever had. So like, to have people also experience that, I think that would be phenomenal. I imagine a residency not necessarily being in Nassau. I would actually prefer it maybe back home in Long Island or some other family island,
right,
you know, that actually brings people, again, closer to nature and closer to an environment that's sound and secure for their working.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I think that would be great. Do you find any people in where you are now, mm-hmm, interested when you tell them, oh, listen, I'm from the Bahamas, do they even know where it is?
They think it's because the Chinese translation for Bahamas is very similar to that for Panama.
Uh-huh.
So they always think I'm talking about Panama, and then I'm like, no.
Right. It's actually Bahamas. Not Panama. Sorry.
So a lot of them don't know where it is, and
right,
it's actually really it's a great pleasure when you do find somebody who knows where it is, and they're like, oh yeah, it's an island country, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I often get people ask me, like, well, how much is it to go there? I'd love to go there, and this,
yeah,
and that.
I mean, something you said earlier, I think, is actually it's the double-edged sword, right? I mean,
right,
we keep talking about, we keep going back to Jackson Burnside and his mantra about the year 2020, more people will come for culture,
right,
and art than for the sun, sand, and sea.
Right.
And, you know, and I totally get it. I mean, I think the art and culture in this country is becoming and will be the tail that wags the dog.
Right,
you know, I
right
think that really we have so much to offer, just in general, not
right
just Bahamian culture, but just culture and art in general, I
yeah
think is so rich that we will do that. But having the sun and the sand and the sea alongside the experiences certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that we really kind of need to capitalize on that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and look forward to that, because I think it just depends. It's just a matter of perspective. You
yeah
know, there's so many people who have looked at that dynamic of our service industry and like put it in their work in a way that really has kind of set them apart. Yeah, look at, I think of artists like Dave Smith. I think
right
of artists like Blue Curry.
Right.
A lot of people have really addressed that. Heino Schmidt has really put those kinds of ideas out. LeVar Monroe.
Right.
Really kind of talked about where we are as a real space.
Yes.
And not shied away from it and almost integrated it in a way that I think could be interesting. That's a different show. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about your exhibition coming up at Dungalik Studios. So I have written here that your artist talk is on the 27th of
yes
August, right? What day is that?
That's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
No, wait.
Sorry, it's a Sunday.
That's a Sunday.
And what time does that start?
That would be around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, so because it is a Sunday, so it can be a little bit more.
It can be a little, you know, and at a time when it's a little cooler, you know, somewhat beginning to.
Sure. Yeah. And the show opens on the 29th, which is the Tuesday.
And that would be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Number, Dungalik Studios, number 20 Village Road.
Number 20 Village Road. Yes. That's the top of the hill for those of you who don't know. Just when you turn off at Shirley Street, you come up the hill and right at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
To the right if you are traveling south. Yeah. So talk to us about your show.
The exhibition that I'm putting on is actually, it consists of work that I created in my residency at Denmark, as well as work that I created in Jingdezhen, back in China. So the work is, it's a mix of, how do I say, it's a mix of some work that is actually rather clean. But in the
when
same
you say
time,
clean, what do you mean?
Clean in the sense of the actual ceramic piece. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a bit of a contrast. How do I explain it? Some of the it's a mix of slip cast objects. So basically, rocks, stones, any sort of objects that I like and I find, I'd make molds of them, and I'd cast them in porcelain. And that's one part of it. And so I make these sort of oversized necklace pieces with it. Okay. Another part of it, which is also, that was work from Jingdezhen. Another part of it, which is work from Jingdezhen, are these just functional pieces with paintings of sort of like these very abstract fish on them. Mm-hmm. I'm always very much interested in the fish. I mean, I've used this sort of mythical Bahamian creature, Luska, in my work all the time.
Right. What is that?
Luska is how do I describe it? It's either, it's seen in two ways. It's a type of sea creature or a sea goddess or god, however you want to put it, that its head is either in the form of a dragon or a shark, and its tail and lower body is in the form of octopus tentacles, okay, or like squid tentacles. And she's said to sort of like live and dwell in the blue holes, especially like all blue holes all over the Bahamas, but particularly around Andres. Whereas if any sort of boats would linger over the blue hole for any extended period of time, she'd just like sort of suck them in, sort of like a kraken.
Wow, so it's comforting.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wonderful. But the work itself is a more subtle take on that.
Right.
Anyway, and the work that I'm also displaying from Denmark is completely different from that of Jingdezhen. It is all, it's not porcelain, it's all stoneware, and all of the pieces are very rugged looking, but they have the look of, the textures on them have the look of sponges, and also the structures of the pieces are that of dying leaves, basically. Anyway, the general idea for this work is talking about fragility of emotion for us as people. And in that sense, I'm discussing the concept that I want to express, basically, is how sensitive we are. Like, you know, we hear somebody say any small thing to us, and it could suddenly turn our day upside down depending on how we take it. Any small, like, gesture that somebody makes with our work could be, so the meaning of somebody getting fired or somebody getting hired. I mean, you know, like it's so many tiny things that happen in our daily lives that we don't really think about, or we think too much about.
Right.
And they affect us in a very great manner. So basically, I just want to focus on that sort of fragility of emotion and how, as human beings, we sometimes can be super logical. We can be very like organized and structured, and things are this way, this way, this way, this way. But I think for many of us, we are all just overly sensitive.
Yeah, we're wrecks.
Yeah, we are.
We're collective wrecks. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I think that we live in a world right now that is very unstable in a lot of ways. I feel like we're transitioning. And I mean, this is me, my Deepak Chopra moment. But I think that we're not, you know, I think that we're all uneasy about the way a lot of things are transpiring.
Yes.
And I think we are trying to establish what new kind of standards are.
Right.
I don't want to say normalcy is, because I think that there's problems in that too. But, you know, it's interesting that you would use your work as an opportunity to address that, because I do think that art gives us this tremendous opportunity to tell stories and to reflect and to give people an opportunity to kind of see themselves in different ways. So that's I look forward to that. So it is all you, right? This is a solo exhibition.
Solo exhibition.
Yeah. All right. So how many pieces are there approximately?
I don't know.
Tell me exactly now, Alistair.
Oh, my God. I'm just joking. Pressure.
Yeah. So it's a whole bunch of pieces. So you had to ship all of these down here.
The pieces from Denmark I brought by hand, which was madness coming through the airport. And then, of course, going through scans, they didn't know what they are, so I got pulled aside for questioning. But anyway, but the other pieces from China have been shipped. They sent them back in early July, and they should be here very soon. Okay. So they take like 43 to 45 days or something like that.
I know. I mean, and it's something that, I mean, we are all excited to have these types of shows and to see these platforms being used. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about the Dungalik Studios as a platform. I think it's an amazing space. It's something
absolutely
that's really been central to the development of things like transforming spaces over the last, more than a decade.
Yeah.
And Pam has done extensive work and, you know, to be kind of really the champion of the UNESCO designation, which makes us a city of folk art and craft, which I think a lot of people don't recognize. And we are not necessarily capitalizing on the kind of circle of potential cultural friends we could have with that.
Totally.
I mean, and I'm the biggest to blame on that. But I mean, I think, you know, we there's a lot to be said there. So when we use a space like Dungalik, or Hillside House or the NAGB or another space or Pop Up or whatever, we're able to really kind of get a stronghold on things that may kind of speak to what you were talking about earlier about building up a residency, right? Doing that kind of thing. And I think it's encouraging. Why I'm encouraged by you is that you see yourself as, not that being an artist alone is not enough, because it certainly is too much most of the days. But the idea that you build your platform, you build yourself as a platform that then somebody else can use to find their own platform, becomes really important. And I think that's something that should be kind of admired by you. And I see it in a lot of other artists that, have developed over the last, decade or so. I think it's a really good thing.
Right.
One of the things I wanted another thing I want to ask you about is other ceramicists that are in the country. Are you excited by any other work? Or not even ceramics. Let's just talk about other artists that kind of excite you at the moment. Is anybody doing work that was the last great show you saw?
What was the last great show I saw? Sorry, I spent way too much time away.
Or it could be away. We were talking about Ai Weiwei earlier on. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
we kind of talk about his work, and we're, Ai Weiwei is a very well-known contemporary Chinese artist who is extremely controversial.
I'm not so inspired by Ai Weiwei. I admire him for the fact that he does step outside the boundaries of China's political setting. He's willing to challenge Chinese politics, etc. But I think the biggest influence I had recently I went to London just before I went to Denmark, and I spent 9 days there. And oh my God, I got to meet these artists and art dealers, an art dealer who I've always been wanting to meet them. Mm-hmm. And it was Kate Malone, who is a very famous British ceramic artist, much success. And I also got to meet with Elizabeth Aliff, who also works in the same city where I am, but her work is shown mostly in London. The same city in China where I am, but her work is shown in London. And then I also got to meet Adrian Sassoon, who's a very, very notable art dealer. And I think that was just a super humbling experience for me, mostly because it all happened in like a matter of an hour, and these are people who I wanted to meet, like I wanted to know for years now. So that, alongside with like seeing exhibitions there and being so influenced by the space and seeing what's being done with ceramic art there, was amazing. I was actually with somebody with another artist, Mary O'Malley, who is a American artist who works in England, and I'd met her last year in China. And she was super helpful and influential to me. So I think a lot of my influence comes from my personal experiences that I have with people, not necessarily from directly from other artists.
Right, right.
But in the Bahamas, I actually say that I really like what Keyshawn Monroe is doing with his work.
Yes.
Because I've always seen art as a way of sort of recording our history and recording our cultural heritage. And
right.
I can really appreciate like the type of work that he's producing.
Yeah.
That as well as, you know, just everything that's happening here in the Bahamas. I mean, in terms mm-hmm. of art, we're growing and developing conceptually, technically. It will take a while. I mean, of course, like anything worth doing.
Right.
But I think we're on the right path.
And yeah.
It pushes me to, as a Bahamian artist, to go out there and try to bring more back to the country, at least.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a great thing. I think it kind of takes me, you know, we're kind of winding down. We have only a couple more minutes. Mm. But I think, you know, one of the initiatives that we have set up for the Bahamar platform is to develop some more kind of comprehensive exhibitions that like live alongside the type of exhibitions that happen at the NAGB. Mm-hmm. Things are more overarching, that reflect culture, that reflect key moments in our development as a country, that kind of reflect challenges for us. And I mean, I see you as being very central to those types of experiences in a way that don't diminish, right? I mean, but complement and support all of the other work that you do everywhere else, which I think is a great thing, right? I mean, I'm very happy. I feel a part of the NAGB blood kind of pumping through my veins, because it was such a dare part of my own kind of development, I guess, as an artist and as an art administrator.
Right.
That I see that what we're trying to develop at Bahamar is something that just kind of extends that.
Right,
we really want to, you know, collaborate with the NAGB in a real kind of organized an official way to bring more culture to these experiences that we can have, that we anticipate large numbers of people coming through those walls. So it is really important for all of these things to happen, for you to continue to do what you're doing, and for other artists that are listening to kind of follow in that wake and say, hey, I'm really interested in this practice. I'm going to do this. I'm really going to find out, you know, how I can make my mark in this way, or really stick it out. Because I think sometimes if we just hold our breath just a little bit longer, things start to happen. But sometimes the minute, you know, you kind of get a couple rejection letters and you're not going to do it, right? But we really, really kind of need to think about it. But, you know, I need to kind of do a little bit of housekeeping, or Amanda will be very angry at me, for sure. But, I mean, it's been great talking with you, Alistair.
Same here.
I mean,
thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. I think so. People need to remember that on the 27th at 3 p.m., mm-hmm. You can go to Dungalik, which is Village Road number 20,
yep.
Top of the Hill. 3 p.m., Alistair is going to be doing his artist talk. And then the opening for that show is on the 29th of August from 6 to 9 p.m., and it's going to be works. Both from your studio experience in China, I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce that, and also your residency in Denmark.
Yeah.
So that is very important. But I also want to make note that people listening to this show, you know, where we're discussing issues related to the creative community, you can go to the website, www.nagb.org.bs. And if you scroll down, you can listen to past episodes of The Blank Canvas. You know, we're very happy to be supported by Guardian Radio. We're on 96.9. You can go to their website, guardiantalkradio.com, and also listen to past episodes of this show. I think that the future looks bright for creativity in the country, and I think we really need to support that and be pushing people forward. Like I said, my past year at St. Andrew's School, teaching in the upper school was nothing but positive. Those kids are super intelligent and super creative, and really kind of speak the contemporary language. And I feel like they are who I was closest to, and I'm near and dear to that institution, but I know that they're just a reflection of other kids who are in this country as well. So it has been nothing but encouraging. So I am very happy to see art moving forward in the country. And that brings us to a close.
Alistair
Stevenson, thank you. You know, good night.
Good night.
And good luck. Right? Guardian Radio 96.9. This is The Blank Canvas. And I will hopefully talk to you again sometime soon. Take care.